Good morning, everyone. What a day. The Holy Spirit is in the house. We're having church today. We really are. We're having church today, and it's beautiful, 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 just what God is at work doing. Everything from our pre-service prayer time, that word from Tim, our worship today, it really is so beautiful, and it perfectly lines up with what the Lord wants to speak to each of us today about joy. Now, before I just get started, I want to continue in the celebrations. Today is about joy, and we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate not only through congregational singing of Jingle Bells and the generosity of Life Center, but I, on behalf of Pastor Jason and myself and our entire team here at Life Center, just want to take a minute to say thank you to each and every one of you. You know, it is such a joy and an honor to lead and pastor the church Life Center, to steward what God has placed in our hands. You know, we've been here for a long time, and we're so grateful for it, and we're so grateful for every single person who calls Life Center home, and every single person who will call Life Center home, because you are a part of this stewardship, and you are a part of this great mission, you know, that God has given us. So thank you so much for today, for your continual and ongoing investment into what God is doing here at Life Center, and it truly is an amazing thing. You know, at Life Center, we practice the principle of the tithe. And so what that means is that everything that comes into Life Center, we give back. We give 10% back to charities and ministries and the community, people who are doing an incredible Jesus-sized difference in everything that they do. And it extends our hands even further. And so I just want to let you know that on your behalf and because of your generosity, we have been able to donate $155,000 into ministries in our city, in our nation, and around the world who are truly doing extraordinary things. This Christmas together, we were able to bless 206 children. That's children inside the house that we're able to take care of this Christmas through our Gift for Kids program. This week, we'll be preparing 357 food baskets that will both care for families in the house and families in the community. And that's going to reach, and this number is probably low, but approximately 1,428 people. This Christmas, we also had the opportunity to create some shopping days. So all of the stuff that comes in through CityServe, we were able to create shopping days. And this was able to help 218 vulnerable parents and children could come and shop for their families with and leave with tangible gifts that they could put under the Christmas tree. And it was so beautiful. The child or the parent chose the gift. It was wrapped for them, and they brought a wrapped gift home that they could put under the Christmas tree. This happened at our Life Center Care Facility and our Kanata campus this year. And on top of that, I also need to celebrate, because we don't talk about it often enough. It just kind of happens on an ongoing basis behind the scenes. But in 2024, we actually have been able to donate $2.6 million of goods and foods into our city through Life Center Care. And so it really is extraordinary what God is doing here. But I don't share this to say, like, pat Life Center on the back. I share this to say this would not be possible without each and every one of you. This is what we are doing together. And I know that you can see, if you've been attending Life Center for any length of time, that Life Center is growing. Right now, we have about 2,600 people that attend Life Center on a weekly basis. And a number of years ago, probably like 10 years ago, we had this dream, this vision, and we said it out loud, and we had no idea how it could happen. But we wanted the number of people that attended Life Center on Sunday, we wanted to be able to reach at least that amount or more through the week on Monday to Saturday than we were ministering to on Sunday. And we said this, and we were like, God, we have no idea how this is going to happen. But truly, because of your generosity and because of what we get to do together, this has come to pass. And the reach is so far. I'm not even joking. The reach is so far of what we're doing and the kind of ministry and the reach we have in our city that we actually can't count anymore. We're able to invest in so many ministries that are ministering to hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of people that we actually, the number is beyond what we're able to actually track and count. So it's so beautiful to see what God is doing at Life Center. And we want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for making this possible. This is what we are doing together. So thank you. And that's our generosity celebration today. Well, throughout the month of December, we are working through the beautiful and profound themes of Advent. Advent actually means waiting. And the heart of Advent is that we would actually put ourselves in the position or the posture of what it might have been like for before Jesus came to wait for a coming Messiah, what that might have felt like. And while we imagine, this week we're going to sit in the theme of joy, a joy found in seeing Jesus in the scriptures. And today I want us to really try to grasp this concept, not just an external joy that is based in a feeling, not just happiness, not a joy that comes and goes that is fleeting, but I want us to try to grasp through a revelation of the Holy Spirit what it really means to have a deep, abiding joy. And this is not going to be a message about how much you should love Christmas, okay? Even though I do love Christmas and how much Christmas should fill you with joy. And I'm not even going to tell you that you should probably, if you're struggling with joy, you should probably go home and maybe watch a couple Hallmark movies and wait for the joy to come. Hallmark has got a lot of hate this Christmas, and I've got to just, you know, balance that out a little bit. But I'm not going to tell you that. Whether you love or you dread Christmas, whether your life is great right now or filled with tragedy, let's move beyond just personality, external circumstance, and let's allow the Holy Spirit to show us joy in the person of Jesus. And when you take stock of your life, and if I were to ask you what things in your life bring you joy, the longer you're alive, you realize that these things that we might answer to this question, eventually the joy seems to fade. Like maybe you remember, if you're married, a time when your husband or your wife brought you only joy. You couldn't imagine any other feeling while they're around. And I just want to ask you, if you've been married for any number of years, how's that going now? I mean, not I only feel joy, but they probably have experienced other things too. What about the dream job, okay? Maybe you put years and years and years into your education and you finally graduate, or you wanted that promotion, or you wanted that position, or you wanted that title, and you got it. You eventually got it. And at first, it was really satisfying. And at first, you felt, wow, this is so great. But eventually, it just becomes hard work. The joy fades. What about having kids? Anybody that's had kids knows. Yes. We would say that's probably the greatest day of our life, the day we had our child. But is joy the only thing you feel when you think about them? Probably not. And it starts very early when they start screaming in the middle of the night and you're like, I'm exhausted. I don't actually feel joy right now. Material possessions get old, vacations end. And I'm not trying to be depressing here. As we practice Advent, we practice this idea of waiting to receive. But isn't this often the way it is with joy too? It's like this idea that we're waiting to receive something, and when we'll receive it, then we'll feel the joy. But we find ourselves again and again and again as humans so fickle. We take the joy target and we move it and we move it and we move it again and again. True joy only can be found in the person of Jesus. And the joy that we're being invited into through the Christmas story is so much deeper than just the feeling of when the waiting is over. No, joy has come. All right, let's see this and find this in the Christmas story. In Luke chapter 2, verses 13 to 14, we've been sitting in this passage for a couple of weeks. It's not going to come up on the screen. If you have your Bibles, you can open up to Luke chapter 2. And this is after the angel's announcement of Jesus to the shepherds. And the scriptures, it actually said, and I love that Tim referenced this in his prophetic word, it said, "And suddenly there was with the angel the multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" Glory to God in the highest. The ultimate expression of true abiding joy. I want you to think about that statement just for a minute, and I want you just to imagine this scene unfolding. Eunice McKinde, one of our intercessors this morning, prayed into and over our team, and she reminded us that the shepherds were one of the unlikely groups of people. Why would God choose them to reveal Jesus to? As one of the first people that the angels would come to, these were people that were on the outside of society. These were people that would have been rejected. Maybe you know what that's like. Maybe you sit here today and you've been rejected. Maybe you've been overlooked. Maybe you have experienced the pain that comes when people leave you out. Glory to God in the highest. The angels came and they declared this word. And what was so beautiful about this moment and this scene that was unfolding is the angels knew something the shepherds didn't know. The angels were making a declaration that would reverberate through all of eternity, because they knew the end of the story and they knew that this baby being born was the beginning of a series of events that was about to unfold that would change everything. Glory to God in the highest, they said. It was a declaration of lordship. It was a declaration over darkness to say there's only one who is highest, and we declare that right now. In this moment, just while a baby laid in a manger, that doesn't seem like when we look at that one thing that it would be that special. But just like Tim's word, we've got to come out of the tent. And guess what the angels did? They were glorifying God with all the stars and all the creation. They looked up and saw the expanse of everything that was possible and everything that was happening and everything that was unfolding. And they were part of this grand moment that they were inviting these shepherds into. And it's so beautiful because the scriptures actually say that the shepherds went, they listened, they heard, and they went and they found this baby. And guess what the scripture says that they did? In verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them." They saw what the angels said and did. They went, they found Jesus, and they did the same thing. Glory to God in the highest. They gave God all the praise and all the glory. They believed, they received, and they were filled with the joy of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, this is the wise men's account. It says, "And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy." Why? They were invited into a grander story. They were invited into a life of joy. Joy had come, and they were being invited into the salvation that would come to their lives. And it says that they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And then they worshiped. And then they laid down their gifts. Excuse me. They laid their gifts down and they worshiped him. And this is the joy that has come to us. John Piper says that God is glorified when we find true satisfaction in Jesus alone. Glorifying God is the ultimate expression of joy. And I want you to say out loud for me, "Glory to God in the highest." And I want you to look to your neighbor and I want you to tell them, "Glory to God in the highest." And I want you to do something right now. I want you to think about your life. And I want you to think about that thing that is just not as it should be. That thing that is robbing your joy right now, today. That thing that you are praying for, that thing you are waiting for, that thing that you actually believe is on the other side of your joy. I want you to think about that right now. And I want you just to imagine it, bring it to your mind. And I want you to speak out loud like the angels did over that thing, glory to God in the highest. No, come on. I want you to speak to it. I want you to prophesy it. I want you to say, glory to God in the highest. All right, I think Pastor Rhonda started us off doing this interactive thing, and so let's continue this today. And every time you hear me say, glory to God in the highest, I want you to repeat it back to me, okay? And I'm gonna see if you can keep up with me, all right? We'll see if you're paying attention. We see in the scriptures 324 prophecies about Jesus that were fulfilled. These are specific things that the prophets spoke about Jesus without ever knowing what was going to happen. And these prophecies were proof that God was a promise-keeping God. And if God is a promise-keeping God, then we can trust that he is faithful to accomplish everything he desires to accomplish in and through Jesus Christ for you and for me. Have you ever had somebody speak a prophetic word over you? Maybe they spoke something into your life or declared something over your life. And maybe at the time you were like, I have no idea how that will happen. I am not sure if that is even possible. And then you find yourself a number of years later thinking back to that moment and seeing that that very thing that was spoken over you has happened in a way that you did not even see coming. And what often happens through prophecy is the journey to get there often feels very different than we could imagine. And it often comes through more hardship than we ever imagine it would. And this is exactly what we see in the Christmas story. This same God who was faithful to fulfill all of the prophetic words concerning Jesus in the scripture is the same God, the unchanging God that's at work in your story today too. And I pray that this would build our faith up today to believe that the impossible is actually possible with God. All right, so I'm going to show you some things in the scripture. And I want to prove this to you. In his book, Science Speaks, Professor Peter W. Stoner, chairman of the Department of Mathematics and Astronomy at Pasadena City College and the Science Division at Westmount College, calculated the mathematical probability of one person in the first century fulfilling just eight. How many did I say there was? 324. So just eight of the messianic prophecies to be, okay, and I'm not sure if I'm going to say this right, one with 17 zeros behind it, okay? I'm not sure what number that is, maybe like a kajillion. If that's a number, that's a big number. Now, if we increase this number to 48 prophecies, that would be one with 157 zeros behind it. Okay? Now, I need to apologize. I'm not a math person. Me and math don't get along very well. Math does not bring me joy. Anybody else? Math does not bring you much joy. Okay? Math people, I feel like, are in this club of elites with whom God gave the ability to access the part of their brain that can do math. And it's kind of like people who can sing. I'm not in either of those clubs. I'm kind of upset about that. I'll talk to God about that when I get to heaven. One time, a math teacher told me, anyone can do math. They said, there's no such thing as math people and not math people. They said, the only difference is that some people do calculations more slowly than others. Yeah, no, duh, that is the issue. And he said, what happens is that throughout school, because they can't cater to all the different learning paces, kids get left behind and then struggle with math. I'm not sure if I agree. However, what's so interesting about this idea is I think it can be the same with our faith sometimes. Sometimes we actually look around a church like this and we see a lot of people smiling and we think, oh, I don't know if I'm in the good Christian club. I don't know if I am good enough, if I'm doing this Christianity thing good enough, if I'm doing it right. And eventually we get discouraged along the way. But I'm here to tell you that is such a lie, because this story has never been about you being good enough, you being a good enough Christian. It is always been about how good Christ has been and is and always will be for us. For God so loved the entire world. Everyone is invited into the club. Everyone's invited into joy unspeakable and full of glory. Glory to God in the highest. The Bible is filled with promises for you and me. And they're all based in Jesus. They're all based in what Jesus has already done for you and for me. And I know that today you might not be able to see it in your life. You might not be able to see it active. But if we can believe, then a deep abiding revelation of the joy of Christ could be ours today. I want you, remember last week, Pastor Jason said, pull on the Holy Spirit. I want you today to pull on the joy of the Lord. Pull on the Holy Spirit and receive what it is that he has for you today. But I know there's some of you here today who'd rather hedge your bets on playing the lottery. But I want you to know that statistically, you have better odds of winning the Lotto 649 biggest jackpot than Jesus fulfilling only 8, let alone 324 of the prophecies that he fulfilled. And so here's a thought, okay? Without judgment, we listen and we don't judge, right? Maybe you could take all the money that you're investing into the lottery, and maybe you could sow it into the kingdom of God, and you could receive what money cannot buy. I promise you, God will multiply everything that you sow beyond what you could ever imagine. All right, back to the scriptures. In Isaiah alone, okay, just the book of Isaiah alone, there are 102 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled perfectly. Here are just a few of them. The preexistence of the Messiah. The Messiah would be God incarnate. Prophecies included era, time, date. They also included the seed, race, nation, tribe, and family. They were descriptive of his birth and childhood. There would be specific miracles that he would perform. He would come to Israel, but be for all people. He would provide salvation. He would be betrayed, abandoned, despised, judged, rejected, suffer greatly, crucified. He would rise again, and he would be forever victorious. And what we also see that's so profound and beautiful, in every book of the Bible, there is it points to the person of Jesus. It prophesies the person of Jesus that is coming. And I'm not going to go through every book, I promise you, but I want to point out a few. In the book of Genesis, the Messiah will crush the serpent's head. He defeats darkness. We know the end of the story. And he comes and he crushes the head of the serpent. And because Jesus is the ultimate snake crusher, that means that we can stand in the authority that Jesus has given us. And we can crush the head of the snake in our life too. That was a little pre for our conference coming. I'm so in that right now. It's so fun. In Exodus, the Messiah is a lamb without blemish. In Numbers, the Messiah is lifted as a healing serpent on the pole. In Deuteronomy, the Messiah hanging on a tree takes on the whole curse of sin. In the book of Ruth, we see the Messiah as our kinsman redeemer. And on and on and on, every book prophesies about the coming Messiah. Now, what does this have to do with joy? Well, we see the Old Testament prophet Nehemiah, who prophetically spoke this. And I know you know this scripture. We quote it often. Do not grieve, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I know some of you today come in to church and you carry the grief of specific things that are going on in your life. specific losses and struggles and difficulties. Do not grieve, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And as I say that, I do not mean that you should not have feelings of grief, but don't allow grief to swallow you up. There is a strength that is rooted in God, that is rooted in what Jesus has done, that is available for us to pull on today. And that doesn't mean you leave out here just looking happy and all smiles and pretending like the sadness and the grief and what's actually happening goes away. No, but we can stand in that pain, trusting and knowing. We can look up to the stars and we can see there's a whole story that's unfolding that's so much bigger than the grief that we're carrying that feels so heavy and so big right now. And at Christmas, we don't only want to see a baby born, Emmanuel, God with us, but we want to see the miraculous fulfillment of hundreds of prophecies, the faithfulness of God to generations, the redemption of God to us, the power of God to a lost and broken world, the detail of God who sees and knows and cares about what makes you anxious, the long arc of redemption that in Christ is in all of our stories. Joy, it's not measured by a feeling. Joy is a person, and that person is our strength, and that person is Jesus. Jesus is our joy. Jesus is our joy incarnate. Jesus is our joy despite our circumstances. Jesus is our joy in the waiting. And it's very powerful and really fascinating to see that even in the time of Jesus, there was only a few who had eyes to see who Jesus really was, who really believed God, who trusted the full plan of redemption, who actually stepped outside of the tent, looked up to the stars, and saw that there was a grand story that was unfolding that was so much bigger than what they could see in the here and the now. Joseph, Mary, Elizabeth, the shepherds, the wise men, Anna the prophet, John the Baptist, a handful of disciples, 120 in the upper room. The Jewish people thought their Messiah was going to look different. They thought he would be a warrior or a king or maybe the head of the church or a person of influence or a person of status or power. Not a baby. Birthed by an unwed mother from an ordinary family, not a carpenter working the family business. And maybe this has happened to you with joy as well. Maybe you've been looking for joy packaged in a specific outcome. Maybe you've been waiting for your heart and your mind to catch up with all the feels of joy and the smiles that come with it. Yet joy is here today for us to pull on. Will we receive the joy of the Lord as our strength today? Glory to God in the highest.
Glory to God in the highest.
And yet Jesus was all of those things that they were looking for. And he is all of the things you are looking for too. Jesus is a warrior who defeated our spiritual enemy. Do you know what that means? That where the enemy is at work in your life, you can stand in his authority. He's already defeated him, so you can receive that and walk in that. Jesus is our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. Do you know what that means for you? That means that whatever else that you have given lordship to in your life cannot stand the weight of it. We actually must put Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords over every part of our life because he's the only one that can stand in that position. Jesus is our great high priest. And you know what that means? That means even people that we admire in faith are going to fail us. Pastors and leaders, we see this everywhere. They're going to let us down. They're going to fail us. They're going to fall. But Jesus is the true head of the church, and he will never fail. Jesus is the most influential man to ever live. And so everybody that you admire that's out there in the world, whether past or present, cannot stand next to the person of Jesus. Jesus has all authority over darkness. And Jesus has done everything that he has done for you so that you could have access to everything he lived and died for. And this same God that raised Christ from the dead is the same God that's working right in your unlikely story too. The word joy appears 203 times in the Bible. And do you know what the most repeated reason for our joy is, at least in the New Testament? It's the joy that comes through our salvation, the gift of the person of Jesus who saved us from darkness and reconciled us to relationship with God. And I know that some of you are here today and you have never surrendered your life to Jesus. You've never said, God, I want to receive you as my Savior. And I'm going to give you a chance in just a minute to be able to pray and receive the true joy that has come. But there's some of you that are here today and you have experienced the joy of your salvation. You know that you have been saved from darkness. But life has kind of got you struggling. You're tired, you're overwhelmed, you're overcome. And maybe the true source of your strength is not in his joy today. Well, I'm gonna pray for you too. Because the identical God who fulfilled every prophecy is the unchanging God that will one day give humanity its ultimate gift. It's a promise of the fullness of joy that is coming. Glory to God in the highest. There is a place that's being prepared for you and for me where there are no more tears, no more brokenness, no more death, no more wounding, no more pain. And as the psalmist said, how lovely is your dwelling place. 1 Corinthians 2:9, what no eye has seen or no ear has heard and no human heart has conceived, God has prepared for those who love him. Romans 8:28, we know all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Revelation 21:3-5, God's dwelling place is with humanity. And he will live with them. They will be his people and God himself will be with them and will be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Grief, crying, and pain will be no more because the previous things have passed away. Then the one seated on the throne said, look, I'm making everything new. Joy in Jesus is not the hope of maybe winning the lottery. It's the assurance that he is a treasure like nothing the world could ever offer us. And receiving and trusting Jesus will always be where the joy is. And so if you need the joy of Jesus today, if you want his joy to be your strength, I just want to invite you to pray with me. And I'm going to pray a prayer and I'm just going to invite you to repeat it. Jesus, I surrender. I give it all to you. I'm sorry for trying to do it all on my own. I need your saving grace. Holy Spirit, fill me with the joy that comes from Jesus alone. Help me to live from the joy that comes from Jesus alone. Thank you that joy is not limited to my feelings. I will pull on your joy as my strength. In Jesus' joyful name, amen. Glory to God in the highest.